The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I keep coming back to this issue with regard to possible test aircraft. And I realize these seem to be one-off cases, the one you're referring to, Chris Rutkowski, Cash Landrum, of course, Rendlesham. And the only thing I would say, which means nothing, is that maybe one reason you don't see repetitions is because by causing injuries to people, personal injury, which can cause serious problems because obviously the authorities can get sued, if nothing else, and the politicians can get bad publicity, if nothing else, and not get reelected, that they elected not to repeat these experiments because of the fact that nasty things happened. And that might be it, that maybe there were other experiments that didn't intrude on the public space, but the ones that did cause problems, so let's stop that and try something different. I don't know.
You know, it seems, though, that these cases are accidental. It's not that like the witnesses are inadvertently targeted as being convenient to the actual proximity of the craft. It seems to me, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, many of these cases seem to be a witness stumbling on some sort of mechanized device that's possibly emitting radiation. And even sometimes the device seems to be in trouble. It's not, Gene, I don't think it's like these people are being targeted.
I'm not saying they're being targeted. I'm just saying they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the point being here is that it happened that people suffered injuries, causes a lot of complications. And look how they hide things. Look how the government kind of didn't tell us about the mess of the VA here in the U.S. until the scandal got out of proportion.
Right.
Isn't that typical for governments? You really want to hide the bad news. So if people are getting injured, maybe there are other cases that we don't know about where they got to the people in time before there was publicity and said, hey, you know, we'll take care of your medical care. Or in this case, things got out of hand before they got to that. In fact, in the case of John Burroughs, they don't want to take care of his medical care. That's his big problem.
Right. Although we did find out about the VA situation. That's the other point. We don't have good documentation and a public admission of the UFO situation that they actually do have these vehicles or something like that. And that goes back to something Stan Friedman would say about how that they can keep secrets. You know, the Manhattan Project was kept secret for a long, long, long time. And there continue to be black projects that Congress has, you know, no access to whatsoever. So there's a lot of secrets that are out there. So would the, you know, is this a case of where there was something so secret that it'll never become public? Or is it a case that, you know, we're just waiting for the right opportunity?
Well, that raises the bigger question here, which is back to disclosure. Is it possible the government has, any government, Canadian, U.S., Russian, Chinese, India, U.K., guilty knowledge of what UFOs really are if they're not test aircraft, if they're not conventional? Is that a possibility? And if so, is that it, that they'll always be able to keep the secret for as long as it serves their purposes?
Well, I think that secrets can be kept permanently. I mean, things do leak out from time to time, depending on how much you invoke the fear of God into some people. I mean, you only have to watch House of Cards to see how well-contrived secrets in Washington can get. And in the case of Roswell, I mean, we're talking a long time ago now, and the story has become so confused by various witnesses, by the fact that I'm sure the documentation is gone or locked away so securely that we're not going to open a cigar box by accident when we're poking around in somebody's office and seeing all the Roswell revelations, like a story that came out a few years ago suggested. I would be very surprised if something as secret as that could be admitted. And yet, in terms of, you know, alien visitors, Phil Plait would be shocked to find out that he agrees with me on this. But I think it's very likely that aliens coming to visit Earth would be detectable by astronomers, you know, if they're coming in fleets or motherships and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's the premise of District 9 and movies like that.
Well, you know, the NRO is keeping an eye on things coming in.
Absolutely. You know, and amateur astronomers are probably the best ones because they're the ones who are actually spending time at their telescopes every night looking up, and they have the all-sky cameras in their backyards and things like that. And so, you know, we have a good eye on the sky in that regard. But at the same time, that assumes that there's a technology that, or there isn't a technology out there that, you know, can hide themselves from us. And I'm not convinced that we have all the technology figured out quite yet. But having said that, I suspect that we're never going to get to the bottom of the Roswell thing. And that may shock people because I'm theoretically on the dream team, and I haven't seen any data yet that has come my way that proves one thing or another.
Yeah, Gene and I aren't holding our breath, Chris.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But I haven't seen anything coming my way that proves anything one way or another. But I'm willing to take an objective look at any evidence. So as far as Roswell goes, I don't know. I suspect we're never going to get to the bottom of it. As for
you know, those files hit a burn bag at some point.
Yeah, but you know something here. If we did retrieve a spaceship and a few bodies, that itself is exposing what happened to more people. It's not just an academic report of what we saw in the sky. It's something where there's physical evidence that has been recovered. And the more people get involved, the more cooks preparing the stew, the more possibility that real stuff is going to leak, not just a bunch of contradictory stories remembered 30 years later.
Absolutely true. And the problem is, in the case of Roswell, we're looking at something that happened in 1947, and the original witnesses and the families of the original, immediate families of the original witnesses have by and large passed away. So we are looking at third-hand accounts, that we are looking at documents. And yet, if we did have Dulcer or, you know, one of those bases where there's underground aliens in pickle jars and reverse-engineered whatever.
Nightmare Hall.
Yeah. I like the pickle jar.
You like
equation.
The pickle jar? Yeah. I would think, true, that there would be somebody who would be blowing the whistle, and it wouldn't be Edward Snowden. It would be somebody else with a little closer access to it. And yet we're not seeing that. Now, does that mean that after
We have Anthony Sanchez's Colonel X.
Colonel X, that's right. Yeah, we do.
Actually, that's Tim Beckley's Colonel B, or is it Tim Beckley's Commander X?
Yeah, Commander X. Yeah, I mean, there are people coming forward. I saw the deathbed confession that was produced, I think, last year or the year before. Some of those are intriguing, but they can't be verified. And,
right.
You know, I think it's a problem. What do you do with cases like that? And
apocryphal, I think, would be the term.
Apocryphal, indeed, yes.
You know, one thing that, you know, we're kind of skirting around the subject again of disclosure. One thing that I think that Canadian researchers and investigators such as yourself have in their favor is more of a sense of openness from the government, from the military, from local and regional officials. There isn't quite the stigma, it appears, in Canada, in the media, and in, you know, military circles and that sort of thing. People are, I think, a little bit more circumspect, and they seem to be more open-minded in official capacities up there. Would you agree?
I'd have to agree. I mean, there was actually a parliamentary, a legislative assembly statement investigation that was presented in the government of the Northwest Territories, or was it the Yukon? I think it was Yukon after all. A number of years ago when Martin Jacek presented his findings on the Yukon case, and it actually was entered into official government records. We don't find that going on in a lot of countries, although, you know, a lot of countries today, I mean, I saw the Chile notes just the other day, and, you know, we have England and the release of the MOD report. And all, there's a lot of countries around the world who are releasing information and do have official investigations. You know, in France, you know, the center out there is doing a very interesting job of collecting cases in both the official capacity and from citizens. There are some interesting documents that are being made available, and I think there is a general openness. As far as Canada goes, I mean, remember that, you know, we wouldn't necessarily have the MJ-12 discussions that we would be having now if it wasn't for the fact that Wilbert Smith, Canadian reported to his superiors in Ottawa after a trip down to Washington on what his investigations and queries about flying saucers were. You know, back in the 50s, he found that there was some serious discussion going on in Washington. And while that document in which he reported to his superiors about the seriousness of UFOs in the United States was not made public in the United States for quite some time, it was made public in Canada much, much earlier. So there always has been a very interesting connection between the two countries. And it's true, Canada has been generally open. I mean, even to this day, I get reports through official channels regarding some UFOs. So, you know, that may change.
Chris Rutkowski is with us. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Whoa! This is big!
By popular demand, the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale has been extended. Now through August, save 30 to 45% on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Now is the time to stock up on all factory fresh stock of the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45%. But hurry, supplies are limited, so this sale is only through the end of August. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguide.com. Hurry! The Giant Factory Authorized Mountain House Sale with savings of 30 to 45% is extended through August from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, when we talk about Canadian UFO research, we have one other gentleman whose name enters to the picture, Chris O'Brien. Tell Chris Rutkowski who that is.
Well, I'm sure, Chris, a couple of years back you were interested in the so-called Stephen Bassett so-called disclosure hearings. And the very last person to get up and address the panel was a former Minister of Defense from Canada, Paul Hellyer. And what stunned me was that he read verbatim a transcript allegedly put together by Jim Sparks, a questionable abductee, and Hellyer read what the ETs allegedly had told Sparks about environmental degradation and atomic weapons and all these kind of, you know, cliche phrases that crop up from time to time in the abduction and contactee literature. What is your take on Hellyer, and how could someone in, you know, former capacity like that come across so naive? If I hadn't been working there, I would have started raising my voice in the audience with some indignation based on what he was saying. Where do you come down on the Hellyer involvement in all this?
Yeah, I remember talking to Don Schmidt about this, and he said as soon as Hellyer started speaking, he closed his notebook because he figured that that's the end of the conference. There's no point even talking about it. Yeah, it's interesting that the comments that Hellyer was phrasing there from Sparks is basically the contactee message of the 1950s. Notice how we've come full circle again in so many ways. I have actually talked with Paul Hellyer on a couple of occasions. He and I were guests on a program up here in Canada. I found him very nice, very pleasant gentleman. I simply have no idea how he could possibly say the things he's doing. I mean, this comments that he was making about the aliens in the Las Vegas bases, you know, they go into Las Vegas in disguise so they can go to the casinos and shop and things like that. I mean, it's so ridiculous. One could just imagine that we're talking about a science fiction program more than anything else. And yet this person has very good credentials. In fact, his UFO connection goes back quite far back into the 1960s. He actually gave the statement from the Canadian government when the UFO landing pad in St. Paul, Alberta was dedicated. He actually opened that, which was quite interesting because at that time, which was 1967, you know, people weren't really talking in those terms. When Hellyer often comments about how he hadn't seen any UFO good information crossing his desk as Minister of Defense, I find that very hard to believe, because I've gone looking through the archives for documents, and there's many documents regarding UFOs that are to his attention, that look to be, that it was brought to his attention on some classic cases, certainly cases like the Falcon Lake incident, Charleswood, and a few others took place during his tenure. So I find it hard to believe how he wouldn't have any knowledge of what was really going on until he was on a vacation and somebody gave him a book, you know, on UFOs that really had some doubts. And he says now that he has confirmation of this information about the contactee and abductee situation through a military friend of his that he can't disclose the identity of. I just find the entire story very, very unbelievable. In fact, the damage that his comments make to ufology is inestimable, because it's very, very unusual. And yet he's very pleasant. He's a nice man. Some have suggested that perhaps he's a disinformer. He's making the whole UFO thing look bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, what you thought.
It's certainly possible, but I really don't know. He's making some extraordinary claims that most serious ufologists you know, wouldn't even touch with a 10-foot pole. So I really don't know. I know that there have been some UFO policies that were formulated in the 1960s that he must have been aware of as Minister of Defense. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there.
Now, I don't want to be insulting about it, but maybe he's seen better years, and as he gets older,
he becomes more gullible, or maybe he just wants to seem relevant by coming out with more extreme statements?
It's possible. Some people have suggested perhaps dementia is setting in, and all I can say is that when I was sitting next to him on a TV program, he was as sharp as a tack. I don't know what to say beyond that.
Well, I guess you can't assume a person who is a little bit older is necessarily losing it. I mean, we had Stanton Friedman on a few weeks ago, just turned 80, just had a mild heart attack, and he was as sharp as he ever was. We had Don Berliner somewhat later. He's 84. And you can't tell when you listen to the show. This guy is just raring to go. And he's very careful, very pointed in his comments. I don't know. So I do not know the man. I do not presume to guess why he is making statements that are or seem less than credible. But there you go. There you go. What can I say? Wilbert Smith. Now, he evidently was quite close to Major Donald Kehoe in the early days because he was mentioned in his books. What's your assessment of the information he brought forth, especially his contacts with the U.S. and his efforts to make the UFO subject credible in Canada?
Well, certainly Wilbert Smith, you know, is responsible for a lot of the interesting material that we have from the 1950s. Grant Cameron has done a great job of tracking down Smith. He actually spent some time with Smith's wife and some of his other family. So there's some interesting documents that are available. He was worked in electrical engineering. He actually managed to create a flying saucer, detection station at Shirley's Bay in Ontario. And one of the interesting cases in the records of Canadian ufology is that at one point his detection equipment went off, indicating that something was going to be flying overhead. And he recorded this, and nothing was actually seen, but there's something very large set up all these magnetic and electromagnetic detectors that he had set up. He also got into some pretty strange stuff. I mean, he created binding meters and things like that for detecting objects in the sky. None of his work with regard to UFOs was endorsed by the Canadian government. This is something that was always purported to be in his own time because of his interest. They let him do his own thing because he was quite a genius in electrical engineering. In fact, some of his patents still stand today for some of the electrical equipment that's in use around the world. And yet he, you know, claimed contact with aliens, more contactee, more than abductee. An interesting story, and yet, you know, mixed in with all this, he was involved in the Canadian UFO projects that were on an official basis, Project Magnet and Second Story, seemed to have been crowded out of some of the Second Story cases by some of the upper management. And yet he was instrumental in trying to make some sense. In fact, I think he sincerely tried to understand the UFO phenomenon in terms of physical craft, trying to understand magnetic lines of force. Perhaps the craft were flying, you know, through the atmosphere following magnetic lines of force. Did some interesting work on magnetic mapping.
Let's go into that in our next segment with Chris Rutkowski. With Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Find out how to stop Big Brother in his tracks at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
We'll be right back.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Again, if you want to get a copy of Chris O'Brien's Secrets of the Mysterious Valley, where he sums up lots of years of research, we have a free copy of the ebook just for you. All you have to do is sign up for our weekly newsletter, the Paracast newsletter. Go to theparacast.com, theparacast.com, sign up, and we'll email you a link to download that newsletter. Chris Rutkowski is joining us, and we're focusing on UFO research, particularly in Canada, talking about the late Wilbert Smith and some of his activities. Let me just move away, because we have only two segments left, trying to look at different implications of UFO research. And I'll start with this before I ask you more about your 25 years, the 15,000 sightings that you collected. And that is, do you think there's an answer that will come in our lifetimes, or at least my son's lifetime?
To the UFO question completely? That's a good question. it depends on the direction that you think that the UFO phenomenon is taking. If you're thinking that the UFO phenomenon represents an alien intervention of some sort, I suspect we're going to be getting some more information over the next little while, because we're probably only a few years away now for astronomers to announce the discovery of a truly Earth-like planet within close proximity. We're very close to that. There have been many exoplanets which have been discovered. Some are, you know, too hot, too cold, too close to the star, and so forth. Probably very close to one that's very much like ourselves. And there's been a lot of speculation of what that means. If we do find one that's very much like Earth, very close to us, do we make some attempts to contact them? And why wouldn't, you know, something that's there contact us? In terms of trying to understand the UFO phenomenon in terms of what has been covered up or the documentation or is there enough investigation going on, I have no doubt that various governments in the world have more information than they're letting on. I mean, there must be more documentation of cases. There's a big gap in the United States. What happened after Blue Book, for example, since 1970? What happened to all the cases that are being reported then? Is there an investigation going on? Even during Blue Book, there's a lot of evidence that there were good cases that were being funneled elsewhere, so that they weren't part of the Blue Book study. Where are all those reports? Is there a high-level investigation going on? I suspect that simply by the nature of the beast that there would be some high-level investigations in a number of various governments. Whether that means that the UFOs are real in the sense of spaceships from another planet or test projects for military applications or a natural phenomenon that may be used in the case of Wilbur Smith when he was looking into possible military applications, having military vehicles traveling on magnetic lines of force, that type of thing. I don't know, but I suspect that there is more to be found, and it's simply through decent investigation, diligence on the part of UFO investigators, and perhaps allegiances and perhaps alliances with debunkers and skeptics. I mean, I'm not, I think that, for example, in the case of Ted Mulzen's study of satellite reentries, there's no question that if UFO investigators were working much closer with people involved in the study of satellites and their orbits and reentries, that a lot of classic UFO cases might be solved or might have more information. And in military applications, maybe people with connections to the military might assist UFO investigators in coming clean and trying to understand what's going on with regard to some classic cases of the past, maybe even some coming up in the past few years. So I think we're on the dawn of some, you know, changes to ufology, probably both good and bad. I think that there's a desperate need for good investigation. I think that such a small fraction, maybe only 5% of all UFO cases are being adequately investigated. Hopefully people will be looking at or listening to podcasts like this, wanting to get more involved, wanting to learn more about the phenomenon, not dismissing it out of hand and not embracing everything they read about completely either, but trying to understand what's going on and liaising with the scientific community. There's a good invisible college out there that Valet used to describe of scientists who are open to the possibility of that there's real value in studying the UFO phenomenon. I think that as we progress into the future, that some of the grad students of today will be taking a closer look at what's going on in the future.
There's a general perception, and I guess this is based on the attendance profile of recent UFO conventions, that most of the people who look into these things are over 50. It's not like, you know, we had 2,000 to 4,000 people at this Contact in the Desert event, 400 people at the recent MUFON convention, but 130,000 at Comic-Con San Diego. So is this a subject just for older people, or do young people simply consume their media differently?
I think that there's a need to listen to the wisdom of the elders, certainly. And the UFO phenomenon does go back a ways. In fact, people starting looking at the phenomenon recently and pretending that the past 50 years of ufology doesn't exist, they're going to reinvent the wheel, are really not appreciating what's been going on. I'm always encountering people who come up with theories that have been thought about 30 years ago. At the same time, your point about Comic-Con is very good. In fact, one of the best attended talks I ever gave was at the Worldcon when it was up here in Canada in about 1986 or so.
Worldcon, by the way, is a science fiction convention, folks.
Yeah, supposedly the largest, although Comic-Con these days is much, much larger. But yeah, and I gave a presentation on UFOs, and it was very well received. There were a lot of skeptics in the audience, but by and large, the science fiction community was interested in hearing about the UFO phenomenon from a straight point of view. I mean, they weren't necessarily interested in the abductions and contactee stuff because they read that all the time in the comic books and in science fiction literature. They wanted to know what was real. And the fact that there are real science panels at science fiction conventions and at Comic-Con now, too, suggests that there is a need for good science and good understanding of the world in which we live and the understanding of the universe. And I think there's a way to bridge between the old guard and the people coming on board.
Now, traditionally, though, I've found that people in the science fiction field tend to be negative about UFOs. And maybe that changed with regard to your session at Worldcon. But that's been my experience over the years, and maybe that's a helpful change.
Yeah, and it's true that by and large, science fiction people aren't really into UFOs. It's looked upon as its own genre, and it is interesting that many UFO conventions resemble science fiction conventions in a lot of way, in their structure and the way that discussions go and so forth, even to the point of the huckster tables being some of the same tables at UFO conventions and science fiction conventions. I think that that it is changing. I think that young people into science fiction and actually manga and anime now more than anything else. If you look at the people attending manga and anime conventions, they really are unversed in ufology, and maybe they need an introduction. And I think that there probably should be a better effort to reach out to these groups of individuals and just get a dialogue going, not to thrust anything on them, but let's talk about what's really going on, because there's some interesting cases out there in ufology that if they're not science fiction, maybe they are real.
Well, it would be nice to see a change in the world of science fiction. I'll tell you what, there's another question in the till here from Randall, our friend ufology, on the forums, your fellow Canadian. And he's asking about the top five cases that you investigated out of those 15,000 that you collected. Of course, you mentioned before that it was maybe the 1% that were unknown. And of course, we all joke about the 1%, but in this case, if we had one good UFO sighting, it would be sufficient to prove that something weird is going on. So in our next segment, the question on the table, what are the best five cases, or any cases that our listeners will find interesting, compelling, in the ones that you worked on? Chris Rutkowski and his crew looked into 15,000 cases, 25 years of UFO research in Canada. One more segment to come with Gene and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's the heart of summer across America. Thoughts turn to childhood and long days of fun. Everybody would love to feel like a kid again. And HB Extract can be a vital tool in your battle to stay vibrant and young, as it supports healthy blood pressure and circulation while balancing cholesterol. GCN and longtime sponsor HB Extract want to help keep your heart healthy with the 30 bottles, 30 days summer giveaway. Enter to win by visiting GCNlive.com between now and August 29th and click on the contest. test banner in the top left corner of the page. HB Extract has helped tens of thousands of people worldwide feel good again. And they've done it with HB Extract's exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. Here's to you enjoying many more long, warm, and fun-filled summers, free of pain and sickness. Visit GCNLive.com and enter to win in the 30 Bottles, 30 Days Summer Giveaway with HB Extract. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Sign up now at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Question on the table. Top five UFO cases among the 15,000. You want to give us brief summaries of some of these cases, Chris Witkowski?
Yeah, that's a tough one to pick out just five. There's no question that we've touched on some of the top five of all time. You know, the Falcon Lake case, Shag Harbor, Langenberg, we haven't mentioned, but people are probably familiar with those. Those go back quite a few years. Now, the past 25 years, I sat down with Jeff Dittman and Ashley Kircher. We went through all the ones that were considered high quality. We said, okay, which ones are the best of the best? And we came up with an interesting list. One that really stands out for me is Etzikom, Alberta. And Etzikom is barely a dot on the map in southern Alberta, quite close to the American border. In April of 2001, a number of people had seen funnel-shaped flames descending from the sky and then rising over, rising into the sky again. And shortly after that, a crater was found in the field. This was, it looked like a moon crater. It was about 20, 30 feet wide or something like that. And somebody said, well, maybe it was a meteorite crater, something fell from the sky, and that's what it looked like, because it looked a lot like that. This was actually investigated by astronomers, who concluded that it was not a meteor crater. The question is then, what was it? And we actually have, a detailed analysis of this crater, detailed studies available. The witnesses testify that they did see something appear to fall from the sky over this field, and the crater was physically there. One of the most puzzling cases that we ever recorded during this entire time.
One case down, four to go.
Or Fort Worth. Okay. I would then have to go to Pickle Lake, Ontario, February 1994. A pilot was flying over northwestern Ontario and saw a saucer-shaped object with a classic curved top brown and orange in color with dark spots along his rim. It actually flew below his plane and then rose up to his altitude, closed to within about 300 yards, and then dove to the ground. Scared the heck out of him. And the pilot said that he was, you know, very, very puzzled about what possibly could have occurred. Another one from the top five. I mentioned this one already. The nurse who returned home from working at a hospital. This is November of 1992. The abduction case. Not a classic abduction because these were not the classic grays. There's something a little bit different, but a lot of the elements are there, included missing time. I'm including it because very few abduction cases were physically reported to us. There are actually some that are reported to the Canadian forces. There are some that are reported to us. This was reported very early on in the Canadian UFO survey, 1992. And we had the opportunity to speak with the nurse, talk with her at length. She drew the imagery from it. It was a very, very curious case, and we included it in our list of the top of the past 25 years. If I was to go into another one, London, Ontario, December of 1991, a pilot of a commercial airliner flying along 33,000 feet when all of a sudden the airborne avoidance collision radar detected three objects directly ahead of his plane. The objects moved to beside him at a range of about 6 miles and paced him, and then they flew away. And it's reported that the Toronto Air Traffic Control reported the objects on radar as well. So there is a radar case that that was reported over the past 25 years. And finally, I have to include it, Montreal, Quebec, 1990. In November, a woman was swimming on a pool that was on the 17th floor of a very large hotel in downtown Montreal. She saw an object stationary in the sky, projecting a series of light beams in the sky. Police were called, and eventually dozens of people saw this this object, and photographs were taken, which persisted for 3 hours, stationary in the sky, and then vanished. A number of explanations have been produced, whether this was some sort of specialized northern lights to reflections from nearby buildings and so forth. Hasn't adequately been explained. But we, you know, it could have been a reflection from some skylights and things like that. Yet, it's a puzzle seen by very many people, investigated by the police.
Now, when you refer to the radar case before, this was a simultaneous radar visual sighting?
No, nothing visual was ever seen. This was simply by the pilot's radar and also detected by the ground radar.
All right.
Yeah. So it was simultaneous.
It was simultaneous, but not visual.
Now, the reason I mention this is because one of the comments that Bob Schaefer made on last week's episode, he was disputing the early radar visual cases, one saying they were in different locations, and if that didn't work, well, maybe our radar wasn't as good then, so there were basically false positives.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's a series of really interesting cases during the really early days of ufology in the 40s. I think it was 1948 when the radar installation, American radar installation in Labrador, had a number of UFOs detected on radar and on different sets, as a matter of fact. And this is well documented. There's many, many case files regarding this, where the same radar that was used to vector in some of the aircraft that were known to be flying detected other things, too, that weren't flying at all at the time. You can't have it both ways. You can't either say that the radar isn't functioning at all or malfunctioning, or the fact that, you know, it is actually very good and usable in military operations. Right. Certainly, we've come a long way since the 1940s. We don't admittedly get a lot of radar cases anymore. Certainly not the same number that we would be getting back then. Radar is a bit iffy, although, again, you know, these are the same pieces of equipment that are used every day. And if something is detected on radar that shouldn't be there, I think it's worth a close look.
And besides, we don't have an avalanche of aircraft crashes. So obviously the radar is doing something right.
There's no question that something's going right.
Although I don't know about this theory about Roswell that the radar brought down E.T., you have to think, is E.T. that primitive?
Yeah, would they really fly all the way here from a distant planet and get into a thunderstorm and crash?
Right. Well, it was a super duper secret high powered radar unit.
Yes, yeah.
Chris, give us a short list of some of the up and coming younger generation of investigators that you feel their work should be supported and acknowledged.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Got to be short, though, like a minute or a minute and a half.
Okay, I have to point to certainly Kurt Collins is quite good in his work. And Claudette Hubert, she's a Canadian. I have to give a plug to the Canadians because, you know, I think they should. She's been doing some very excellent work recently in Alberta. She's been investigating Sue St. Clair. In Toronto, is doing some very good work with her partner, Matthew Didier, been in contact with, I'm trying to remember some of the individuals down in the States. Micah Hanks, I think, is a very interesting person, very, very knowledgeable, and he's been doing some very interesting work and offering some discussions of his own.
Yep.
So there's a handful right there.
That's a good handful. Micah Hanks was on the show a couple of weeks ago. He's a friend of the show. Kurt Collins, of course, appears as Sentry in our forums and is a regular, very, very, very productive participant. Also helps us run the JimMosley.com site, a memorial site for the late Jim Mosley. Chris Rutkowski, please tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
You can certainly go to my blog, which is uforum, uforum.blogspot.com. Links there to various books. I actually have 9 books published in the UFO field in general. Also the 25-year study. And if you want to look at the Canadian UFO surveys, there's links there. You can go directly to survey.canadianuforeport.com.
And by the way, if you sign up for our PowerCast newsletter every week, you get a commentary from me and other people. Get your free copy at theparacast.com, theparacast.com. Sign up. We get you a copy of the ebook version of Secrets of the Mysterious Valley from Chris O'Brien at theparacast.com. Chris's own site is ourstrangeplanet.com, ourstrangeplanet.com. If you buy a copy of the hardcover edition, actually it's a paperback edition, you buy a copy of the physical edition of Stalking the Herd, Chris will sign and number it. On Facebook, there's an official Paracast fan club. On Twitter, we are known as The Paracast. Some other people have other names for us, but we can't repeat them on family radio. Chris Rutkowski, thank you for joining us on The Paracast.
Pleasure to be here.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.